Welcome to Torah Imecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Leah Feinberg, and today we will be studying Shmuel Bet, Perek Yud Gimel, Chapter 13. Before we begin today's Perek, I just want to take a moment to talk about time. There are so many incredible benefits to learning the Prakim one after another as we are doing, but one drawback is that we sometimes lose sight of the forest for the trees. And in our specific case, what that means is, it can sometimes seem to us as though all the events we are learning about are happening in quick succession, and very little time is actually passing. But in actuality, Tanakh is not a history book, and therefore it doesn't record everything that happened day to day, year to year. We only learn the highlights. So in actuality, many years have now passed since David ascended to the throne. The Midrash tells us that Shlomo, who was born at the end of the previous perek, lived for 52 years. The text in Sefer Melachim informs us that he ruled for 40 years. So that means that Shlomo was 12 years old when he became king, which in turn means that from this point until the end of the Sefer, we are roughly in the last decade of David's life. He has already been on the throne for 30 years, years of unparalleled success and accomplishment, triumphant victories over the enemies of Israel, and unity, justice, and peace prevailing within the nation. That is about to change. While David has achieved lasting dominance in terms of his foreign enemies, the remaining 10 years of his malchut will be plagued by challenges to his authority from within. We learned in the previous perek that Hashem acquiesced to the tshuva of David. When David admitted chatati l'Hashem, the Navi responded, Gam Hashem he'evir chatatcha, lo tamut. Hashem has transmuted your sentence, you will not die. Radak, in accordance with the teaching of Chazal, explains this to mean, you will not die immediately and suffer punishment in Olam Haba. Your portion in the world to come remains secure. Nevertheless, in this world, you will be punished, as you decreed upon the rich man in the parable, that he pay four times the value of the lamb that he had confiscated. Radak identifies the four penalties that David will pay as four of his children who will cause him grief and suffering. The first is the child who died in the last perek, and the remaining three we will meet in today's chapter, his sons Amnon and Avshalom, and his daughter Tamar. The introduction is made in the first pasuk. Vayhi acharechen ula Avshalom ben David achot yafa ushma Tamar vayehaveha Amnon ben David. Amnon and Avshalom were already mentioned to us in Perek Gimel, among the sons born to David while in Hebron. Amnon was the eldest son of David by his wife Ahinoam ha-Yisraelite. We are now told that Avshalom, the son of David, had a beautiful sister named Tamar, and Amnon, the son of David, loved her. Chazal fill in some important background details, which you may remember we alluded to in Perek Gimel. Avshalom and Tamar were brother and sister with the same father and mother. Their mother, Ma'acha, was an Eshet Yifat Toar, a beautiful woman, princess of Geshur, who had been taken captive by David in battle, and whom he had subsequently married in accordance with the law of the Torah. What we're hearing here is that David, in keeping with the law, had slept with Ma'acha once before she completed the process of conversion. Tamar was the product of that union. So therefore, halachically, she is not considered to be the daughter of David. She was conceived before Ma'acha was converted. She's only referred to as David's daughter as a courtesy title. So therefore, legally, on this legal technicality, she's not really related to Amnon at all. Amnon became lovesick for Tamar, but it was beyond him how he could pursue her. Malbim explains that even though legally, on this technicality that we mentioned, Tamar might be permitted to Amnon, he knew that she and Avshalom would never consent to such a union because it would be tantamount to a public declaration that she was really parentless and not the daughter of David as she had been raised and as the population had come to believe. Amnon had a friend named Yonadav, who was the son of David's brother Shim'a, and Yonadav was very clever. he noted that Amnon was not himself. And he said to him, Vayomer lo, madua ataka chadal ben hamelech, baboker, baboker. Halo tagidli? Why are you so downhearted every morning? Morning is generally a time for optimism. So like if you're downhearted in the morning, something's really bothering you. Tell me what it is. Vayomer lo Amnon, et tamar achot avshalom achi ani ohev. Amnon explained he was in love with his brother Avshalom's sister. And again, the awkward phraseology supports Chazal's explanation that she was not his sister, only the sister of Avshalom, having been born of the same mother. Yehonadav, Mishpitzot Zahav, explains that the addition of the letter Hey to his name here, it's Yehonadav, whereas previously he was called Yonadav. So the Hey is symbolic of the name of Hashem, and it indicates that Hashem was complicit in the plan that he's about to offer in order to fulfill the decree of punishment upon David. Yehonadav suggests the following plan. Remain in your bed and pretend that you are sick. When your father comes to visit you, as he surely will, say to him, let my sister Tamar come to me and prepare food for me at my bedside that I might see, and I will eat from her hands. According to Malbim, Yonadav did not intend for Amnon to go any further than that. He was simply suggesting a ruse that would make evident to David Amnon's desire for Tamar. And it was Amnon himself whose base nature led him to draw a more disastrous conclusion. Amnon did, as Yonadav suggested, pretend that he was ill, and when the king came to visit him, he requested that Tamar be sent to prepare for him two fresh pancakes at his bedside. David complied and sent a message to Tamar's apartment saying, Lechina beit Amnon achich va'asilo habirya. Go to the house of Amnon, your brother. Note David's use of the term your brother, because in his mind, that was the nature of the relationship between the two. And therefore, Yonadav's plan failed because he suspected nothing more. Sometimes it's hard for us to see our children objectively or as more than childhood playmates. And David couldn't get past that impression to see what was really going on here. So he told her, go to Amnon, your brother, and prepare some refreshment for him. Tamar did as she was told, and when she approached to serve him the food, Amnon commanded that all the servants present should leave the room, which they did. Amnon then requested that Tamar bring the food to him in his inner chamber. And when she did so, he grabbed hold of her and demanded that she sleep with him. She protested, pleading with him not to commit such a vile act. It would degrade both herself and him, and she would have nowhere to hide her shame. She suggested that he speak to the king, for surely if he saw how intensely Amnon desired her, he would not withhold his permission for him to marry her rather than commit such a grievous act. But Amnon would not listen to her, and he overcame her, and he lay with her by force. And the tragedy is compounded in the next verse. Pasuk Tetva, verse 15. Vayisna eha Amnon sin'a gdola me'od, ki gdola ha sin'a asher sne'a me'ahava asher aheva. Vayomer la Amnon kumi lechi. Amnon hated her with great intensity. His hatred for her now surpassed the intensity of the love that he had felt for her, and he commanded her to get up and leave. And again, she pleaded with him. Pasuk tetzayin vatomer lo al odot hara'a hagdola hazot me'acheret asher asita imi l'shalcheni velo ava lishmo'ala. Please don't send me away. To commit this wrong would be even greater than that which you have already done to me. But he refused to listen to her. He called his servant and instructed him to throw her out and lock the door behind her. Tamar had been wearing a ketonet pasim, a striped tunic worn by all the maiden daughters of the king, and the servant threw her out and locked the door. Tamar placed ashes on her head and tore her tunic. She placed her hand over her head as a form of covering and went forth crying loudly as she walked. Our sages cite the love of Amnon for Tamar as exemplary of a love that cannot be sustained. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avot, Perek Hei, Mishnah Tet Zayin, reads, Kol ahava shiyitluya b'davar, batel davar, b'tela ahava. Any love that is based on something physical, when the thing ceases to exist, so too the love will cease. That which Amnon felt for Tamar, which to him felt like love, was in fact lust, based solely on physical attraction. Malbim explains that once his desire for her was satisfied and he could once again think rationally, he recognized that he had behaved in an animalistic way, and therefore he banished her from his presence, as she would now be a constant reminder of his coarse behavior. When Avshalom saw her, he put two and two together and intuited what had happened and asked, "Has Amnon, your brother, been with you?" It seems to be a rhetorical question, but it's a way of expressing his shock and his horror, as in, what? Could such a thing have actually happened? He advises Tamar to remain silent and not to take to heart what had happened. Malbim suggests that he was concerned for her honor. People would be so horrified by the depravity of what had happened that both she and Amnon would suffer, so it would be better for her to remain silent and try to forget what had happened. The former proved easier to do than the latter. Tamar did remain silent, but obviously she was scarred, experiencing what today might be called post-traumatic stress, and she remained desolate, sad and friendless, in her brother Avshalom's house. David, the king, heard what had happened, and he was very distressed. Vayichar lo me'od. The language in the pasuk is very precise. David, the king, heard what had happened. We expect him to react not only as the father of the two people involved, but as the king, who represents justice, who insists on a high standard of ethical behavior beyond even the letter of the law, as we saw when he pronounced judgment on the fictional rich man in Natan's parable. We are told in the pasuk that he was very agitated, but that's the beginning and the end of his reaction. Not only does he not decree any punishment upon Amnon, he doesn't even offer a word of rebuke. This is the difference between the biblical terms vayichar af and vayichar lo. The former indicates anger and is almost always followed by a consequence, whereas the latter, vayichar lo, indicates a state of internal distress with no obvious repercussions. Mishbitzot Zahav explains that David realized that this was part of the fourfold punishment he had decreed upon himself, and therefore he felt deeply distressed, but yet unable to issue any response that would mitigate the punishment. Pasuk Chaf Bet, verse 22. V'lo diber Avshalom im Amnon lemeira ve'ad tov, ki sanei Avshalom et Amnon al dvar asher ina et Tamar achoto. Avshalom did not speak to Amnon, neither bad nor good, for he hated Amnon for having raped Tamar, his sister. Avshalom's hatred for Amnon was so deep that he could not bring himself to exchange even a single word with Amnon. Malbim suggests that this refusal to speak allowed the anger to fester, for had he engaged in conversation with him, even words of acrimony or rebuke, it would have by nature caused the anger to abate after having been vented. Avshalom chose to hold on to his anger rather than allow this to happen. In contrast, says Malbim, the silence on the part of David and Avshalom enabled Amnon to suppress his memory and completely forget what had happened. 2 years later, it happened that Avshalom's sheep were being sheared in Baal Chatzor in the Galilee, and Avshalom called to all the king's sons to invite them, as it was customary to have a festive meal at the time of the sheep shearing. Avshalom approached the king and invited him as well, but David seems to have intuited that the gathering would not end well, for he refuses, or it could be just that as he is aging, he goes out less to this sort of thing. In any case, he refuses, saying, Vayomer HaMelech, Pasuk Chafhei 25, Vayomer HaMelech el Avshalom, Al Bini, Al Nanelech Kulanu, Velo Nichbad Alecha. No, my son, let us not all go. It will be too burdensome for you. Vayifrotzbo, Avshalom persisted, velo avala lechet, but David refused to go. Vayivarachehu, and he blessed him. Then Avshalom suggested, if you will not come, perhaps Amnon, as the eldest son, could come in your place. David questioned, why should he go with you? But when Avshalom continued to persist, David acquiesced and sent Amnon and all the princes with Avshalom. Avshalom instructed his servants that when they see that Amnon is relaxed and enjoying the wine, he will signal to them, and they should then strike Amnon a fatal blow. He reassures them, do not be afraid. I'm telling you to do this thing. Be brave. The servants did as Avshalom commanded, and the remaining princes escaped on their horses. While they were on their way, a rumor reached David that Avshalom had killed all the princes, and not a single one remained alive. The king rose and tore his clothing and lay on the ground, and all his servants likewise tore their garments. Yonadav ben Shimah, the king's clever nephew who had manipulated the situation to begin with, tried to assure the king that the princes had not come to any harm, for surely Avshalom had only killed Amnon due to the anger he had guarded in his heart against him from the time he had oppressed his sister. Meanwhile, as the king's sons approached the palace from one direction, Avshalom took a different road and fled to his maternal grandfather, Talmai, king of Geshur. David and his household were thrown into mourning, and regarding David particularly, the pasuk states, "Vayit Abel al beno kol hayamim." David mourned for his son, in the singular, for many days. The pasuk is deliberately ambiguous, leaving us to wonder which son David is mourning. Some suggest that it refers to Amnon, because the term avelut only applies when one has died. Others suggest that he was mourning over Avshalom for having sinned by killing his brother and now come under the influence of the king of Geshur. Avshalom remained in Geshur for 3 years, at the end of which David began to long for the return of Avshalom, for he had come to terms with the death of Amnon. Thank you for studying together, Le'ilui Nishmat Frida bat Moshe Eliyahu.